This is that story show where we put your hilarious real-life stories into the spotlight.
Clean comedy for ages 13 and up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Podcast people, I'm your host. My name is James Kennison.
And I'm John Steinklauber still. And James, did you hear about NASA?
Yeah, I've heard about NASA.
I just so happened to be wearing an asshat. I didn't even realize that. They're launching a new project, new program. This probably should be under news, but they're launching a new program to send satellites out into space to say sorry to all of the aliens.
Oh.
Yeah, the code name is Apollo G.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Apollo G.
Apollo G.
Well, we got to find aliens. And then when we find them, we can apologize for finding them because they are really not wanting to be found, in my opinion. They want to fly around. They want to give us a light show. But as far as, contact doesn't seem, and those that claim that have had contact have had probing done. matter of fact, you were telling me about a guy, I don't know if you could get him on, but he's a man of the woods.
Oh, yeah. Let me call him up real quick.
All right, Garfield, right? His name Garfield?
Yeah.
Hey there.
Hey, Garfield, how you doing, sir?
Hey, name's Garfield Clancy II.
Oh, well, that's right. Nice of you to be on the show just for a second.
Thanks so much.
You're a man of the woods.
That's correct.
And you live in the woods, you breathe the woods, you...
I eat the woods, man.
Wow.
Don't be confused.
Okay. So out there in the woods, weird things happen, right?
That is correct.
And things that you wouldn't report publicly. Or admit to.
No, I wouldn't tell nobody about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So have you ever had any odd UFO type things happen to you?
As a matter of fact, I did. I was out back on the back 40 the other day.
Yeah.
Last night, you know, in the evening time looking at the stars and whatnot.
Right.
And I was chasing my dogs down. And all of a sudden, I saw this big, huge, bright light up in the sky.
Wow.
It looked like a Boeing 787 or something like that, just coming down and laying in my backyard.
Dang.
And I look up, and that light just shines down right on me. And I start feeling all light and stuff.
Yeah.
And I notice I'm like the rocks are floating around me and such.
Oh, wow.
And I've been tractor beamed up into that daggum spaceship, I guess it was.
Uh-huh. And what happened? I mean, what did you see? What was it like?
There was things inside that thing I can't even use words to imagine, you know.
Well, yeah, but can you, being a man of the woods, can you give us the closest example, like, of what you would see, like an object maybe, and then kind of relate it to an item of the woods?
Yeah. So the critters that was in there,
uh-huh,
they looked like Sasquatch, right?
Okay.
Except They were bald. They looked like a big, huge, bald Sasquatch. And they had all sorts of tools in their hands.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
they got big eyes, too. I don't remember too much after making eye contact with them fellers. Because right? I just remember once I got back on the ground.
We stepped over a significant portion of the story. I mean, you didn't get into what they did to you. Do you?
I was trying to tell you, I don't have any recollection.
Yeah, I don't believe you at all, actually, Garfield. I think it's one of those things of the woods that you don't want to talk about.
Well, what happens in the woods sometimes has to stay in the woods.
All right. Well, Garfield, thank you for coming on and talking to us.
You're welcome.
Go take a walk or something. Build a cabin.
And all right.
Happy fishing.
Nice to see you, Garfield.
Yeah, bye, Garfield.
That guy, he kind of weirds me out sometimes. Yeah. I don't even know how he got in my office.
He's an odd duck, but thank you for letting him talk to us there for a little bit.
It's
let's do an.
He's a mic hog, is what he is.
Oh, he is. I couldn't get him to shut up. But you know, in true storyteller fashion, sometimes people leave out the most important part. You know,
yeah.
And he would not. I don't know if you were there, but he would not talk about what happened to him while he was on the ship. So, I think I know.
What do you think it was, James?
I don't know. I'll just say that I bet his voice wasn't quite as low as it was just now. Maybe that's why he was ashamed. I don't know. I don't know what aliens do and why they do it. I just know that they better clean between each use because yeah, we got things about E. coli. Anyway, our opening story is in a middle school drama.
Move out of the way, stupid.
All right, this is from Mads from Milton, West Virginia. Yo, TTS peeps, I'm in eighth grade and homeschooled. Oh, wow.
Okay. So where does your son go to school?
Oh. Now that that's out of the way, here's my story. I probably was six, and my grandpa decided it would be an amazing idea to put me on a bareback horse. And needless to say,
oh, that's bad news. I remember that happened to me once.
Yeah, I've had
a horse without a saddle.
I've had three horse experiences, and all of them are. I could do a show on each one.
maybe we should.
I don't ride horses bareback anymore, by the way. Grandpa led me around the field for a while, but then he tripped on a rock and fell.
Grandpa?
He was fine. But when I tell you that that horse took off, I mean it. Grandpa called out, but my dad and uncles, and they somehow managed to rope that horse, and I was okay. I'm surprised he hung on. I mean, that's the first thing you do on a bareback horse is fall the freak off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much the first. Yeah, that's what I did.
I was okay. A little traumatized, but okay. All right. Love you guys. You're doing... Hope you're... Wait a minute. All right. Thanks for all you're doing. There's no periods or punctuation in this thing. Hope it makes it on the show. Mads from Milton, West Virginia. I will share one story. It's the second of three. So I went to a small private school for like, I want to say fifth or sixth grade, and it was called the country school. And these people had a mini farm, and they had a horse. Their wife, their daughter did barrel racing. Okay. It's very important. So these horses are back there, and they decided, hey, let's line all the kids up and give them a trot around the field, you know, this little fenced in area. And they gave us some instructions. They said, just ride, just let the horse do what it wants to do. It knows how to go around the outside. And so many children did this, and it was my turn, and I got on it. I was so excited, but it was the most boring thing because he was just kind of trotting along.
Just kind of moping along.
Yeah, he goes along the first
like a mopey
he
horse.
He takes a left and he goes back and he takes another left and we end up behind the stables. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I was thinking. I was just thinking, I wonder if I could get this guy to go faster. I've seen
you've seen the Westerns.
I've seen the shows. I know how to make it happen and I know how to stop it, you know, in theory.
Yeah.
In theory. I'd never tried this out before, but I just went like this. You know that?
Yeah.
And that horse freaking took off like it was a barrel race, dude. 900 miles an hour. I was like, holy crap, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Oh, my God. I was so scared to death. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it took about 12 times. And by the time we peeked out from around the back of that barn, he had taken another left. And I'm just flying.
Oh.
And Miss J, that was the name of the principal and owner of that horse, got very mad at James. And I don't think any of the other children got to ride. And I never fully owned up to what I did. But I'm telling you, all I did was just go. And that horse, I mean, apparently that was the magic freaking phrase to turn that thing into a barrel racing maniac.
That horse wasn't stopping.
Unleash its inner Western or Wild West version. You know, it just went into beast mode right there. Oh,
no.
His freaking shoes came off. He was running so fast. Oh. All right. Brief announcement. Our good friend and past co-host of the show, Axe Cop's co-creator Ethan Nicole, has teamed up with a stand-up comedian, Adam Yenser, to create a comedy news podcast called The Talkdown. Every week, Ethan and Adam look up some of the funniest and strangest news stories from the week and talk them down. From the latest bear news to politics, faith, and weird animal news, it's both funny and informative. Reader stories include a zoo in China that outraged the internet because they painted chow dogs and tried to pass them off as pandas, never gets old. For more info, visit thetalkdown.com and find them on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. We're more than happy to talk about Ethan's new podcast ventures. Again, that's thetalkdown.com or look them up in YouTube and hoping for good things from their podcast. They're former writers for the Babylon Bee, and they actually started their podcast, and then they moved on to bigger, better things in their life, and they missed it. They had the podcast bee, so to speak, and it has stung.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's time for some news nuggets. All right. A man's mid-flight rampage forces a plane to turn around. People on their planes, dude. How come people can't behave?
I don't know, man. I feel like these stories become more and more frequent.
Yeah. Let's find out what this guy did. See if it's frequent. A man who allegedly ran naked down the aisle of a plane in the middle of a flight has been arrested. At least he's original.
That was not expected. I thought he was going to be like angry or something.
Or smoking in the bathroom or whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
Australian officers had the man knocked over and said the man knocked over an attendant during his sprint on a flight from Perth to Melbourne and forced the plane to turn around. Police were waiting at Perth Airport when the Virgin Australia flight circled back. Virgin, I don't think so. And after being detained, he was transferred to the hospital for assessment, where he remains.
He's been there a bit, huh?
Yeah, we're still studying him. We got him in a paper gown, so you know.
That'll drive you crazy if he's not there already.
It's unclear how or where the passenger removed his clothes. I am not a reporter. I am not a investigative reporter at all. But I can tell you, he went in that tiny bathroom and somehow disrobed.
How do you derobe yourself? I don't know.
I've thought it through. I could get my shirt over, I think, pretty fine. But then you have to unbuckle, then sit down on the closed toilet lid to get your shoes and the pants off.
Yeah.
I don't know what provoked it is the real thing. You know, there's a lot of reasons to run around naked. One of them being that you're a baby,
Yeah.
You know,
your clothes are on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you've been picked up by aliens and you're ashamed of what happened and you got dropped off that way, you know, but, yeah, buying a plane ticket. Okay. You know, with the intention of getting somewhere and, and then saying, you know what, instead of all that, I forgot my toothbrush. We need to go back. How can I get this plane turned around?
I left my wallet back home. I need to go back and get it.
So I'm going to go back in there and I'm going to disrobe and I'm going to just run from here all the way to first class. So everyone's
I feel like there was a dare involved.
Who dared him?
I don't know. Some, like, probably one of the passengers, because, you know, he was sitting in the back of the plane.
Yeah.
That's the worst place to sit anyways.
Okay.
Right near the toilet, and somebody's flushing in and is stinking back there. And he's like, oh, this is crazy. What's the best way we can get off this plane? And the guy next to him says, I bet if you take off all your clothes, right, and run down the oil. It's crazy, mate.
I dare you to do it.
I double dog dare ya.
And while you're at it, knock down one of those attendants.
One of them ladies carrying the trolley.
Oh, gosh.
I think I jumped into the English
thing. Yeah, I don't know how to do accents anymore. Anyway, he has been ordered to appear in court on the 14th of June, so he's going to be under investigation for a while. He has not been formally charged, though.
Yeah.
What do you charge him with? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
He sure enough charged down that aisle, though, didn't he?
Skyline streaking?
Former Virgin Australia apologized to guest impacted by the disruptive passenger in a statement. Isn't that a business-like way of saying it? Guest impacted. I would be impacted, dude, if I had to see a hairy hindquarter just running past me. Like, I would hit the attendant button or something, you know.
All the buttons were going off as he was running down the aisle. He's
farting and masks are dropping out of the ceiling, you know. I have to put it over my child's face before my... No, I have to put it on my face before the child.
So, give me a mask, quick.
Oh, my gosh. What are these Australians up to? I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know if Australia is real.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It might not be.
Couldn't.
It might be on the side of the, you know, because if the earth is really flat.
Yeah.
Australia might be on the other side of flat part.
From what I understand, their maps have us all upside down. Like, like their version of the top. Like, I don't know. I think they agree with South Pole, North Pole, but they believe South is up. So. That's what I've heard.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Like, their maps of Australia are exactly 90 degrees flipped over, you know,
180,
my bad. Yeah. They're 90 degrees.
90 degrees.
Thanks, sign making James, who doesn't know his degrees. That's why I'm not doing well at work. Let's do some stories. Okay.
Let me tell y'all a story. Let me tell y'all a story.
tell y'all a story. Yeah, my Australian accent and everything I know about Australia is tied to one thing. Crocodile Dundee.
Now that's a knife. That's right. Yeah, Paul Hogan. Wasn't that his name?
Yeah.
Paul Hogan?
Yeah, what's he doing? Yep. What's he doing these days?
He's still alive, right?
I would hope so.
I mean, he was really big.
Maybe he's doing kids' parties.
I ain't got nothing else to do. Oh, mate, I'm on my money.
Well, look him up, and I'll read this story, and maybe you can tell us what he's doing on IMDb or something. This is called The Capped Candle from Chelsea from Lincoln, Nebraska. My husband, Zach, and I have been married 12 years this December, and I wanted to share a story of one of the many times I have traumatized him. So she sent in very many times. I picked one of the best ones. So my story starts not long ago, or not long into our relationship. My husband lived with his dad at the time, and the friend I lived with was having a huge fight with her husband, and they were talking about getting divorced. So in order to avoid the situation, I spent a couple days in the spare room at my then-boyfriend's dad's house. Okay, so they're all three under one roof. We got it.
Okay.
While they were both at work, I decided to clean their house as a thank you. That is sweet.
Oh, that's good. You're going to stay somewhere, clean the house. That's nice.
And it probably needed it. Two guys living together? Yeah, it's not a priority, really. My wife asked me one time, like, if I was dead, or me and Jay actually were talking about, if we didn't have girls living at the house, I was like, we would take out the garbage, but it would be that thing where you would fill it up till they're falling on the ground.
Yep.
And then take it out, you know, to where the bag, you can't even tie it at the top, you know? So we would survive. We would do dishes eventually, you know? Thank you.
When you ran out of, you know, good dishes.
And it's not that's their jobs. Okay. I do take the trash out, but I have a person, a lady that tells me when it's the appropriate time. I don't see it as the appropriate time. I always think it's too early. I always smush it down and it goes down a long way and I still take it out. I'm like, this bag carries 13 gallons. You know, this is definitely 13. Not 13. You
probably only got 5 in there.
So she says, I did their dishes. I vacuumed the rug. I washed the windows. I scrubbed the bathroom. I even scrubbed the floor since I couldn't find the mop. Dang, she's in princess country right there.
Come.
She's down there like Cinderella.
Yeah.
I'm wishing for the one I love to find me.
To find me.
Today. Wrong movie. Anyway.
You're right. That's Snow White.
I know.
Why do we know that? Because. Because
we're just Gen X, baby. I was feeling quite pleased with myself on how nice and clean everything was. And there was a candle on a shelf, and I thought, hey, I should light that so the house smells nice when they get home. It was a really fancy-looking candle, and it had an ornate metal jar with a matching lid, and I tried to get the lid off, but it was stuck on there really good, and I couldn't open it. So I tried running hot water over the lid. I tried loosening the lid with a butter knife. I wrenched and wrenched, and I couldn't open it. Finally, my boyfriend got home, and I held out my hand to give him the candle to open. I said, hey, can you open this candle so we can light it? I've been trying for hours and I can't get it. And his eyes got wide with panic. And he said, that's my grandma.
What? They kept their grandma in a mason jar?
It was a metal ornate jar is what she described it as. But
oh,
it was a small urn. Ooh. Of his paternal grandmother's ashes. And I spent God knows how long holding it sideways, trying to get it open, having no idea what it really was. I know that if I had gotten it open, the ashes would have spilled, and the naive 19-year-old me probably would have just swept it up,
this is dirty,
and thrown it away and mopped up his grandma's ashes with not a second thought. What are they keeping this dirt in here for?
Flex must be special dirt.
Yeah. So I'll go get some to refill it later.
Poor grandma getting shook up in there.
She's turning over in her grave. Like,
is it raining out there?
Like a rock tumbler. Just like, am I abrasive? He liked to pick on me and mess with me, so I didn't believe him. So I said, no, it's not your grandma. Oh, no. Just open it. As I looked at him like he was deranged, only after he explained that it was a small urn of her ashes split up amongst her children did I finally understand what he was saying. Rendered speechless for a moment, I placed the urn back on the shelf and apologized. Once the threat to his grandma's ashes was gone, he could start processing the events and what had just happened. And I looked in his eyes and I saw him die a little inside.
And he still married you.
I think this was the moment he knew that his future was not at all what he had ever imagined it would be. Chelsea from Lincoln, Nebraska. Poor guy. Oh. I want to hear more. I want more.
I feel like they have some stories. That was just in their dating phase.
Yeah, she
married
sent,
for 12 years.
She
so.
Sent, I want to say, 3 stories as one email, which is a no-no, okay? But some people don't know.
That's okay. We can remind them.
I got to go back to that email. That's what makes it hard. If you send it individually, it makes it so easy for me to go back to them. But I archive them after I'm done using them. That gets them out of the hopper, so to speak. But
yeah,
I'm going to try to
the
remember
story hopper
to go back and find Chelsea's other stories, because it was long. It was so long. I typed it into ChatGPT. I said, please summarize. And it told me a summary of all 3 stories. And I was like, they're all good. Because I was going to archive it. I was just like, this person gave me a wall of words. That's against the rules, you know? But no, she worked hard. And
there's
were good
nuggets
stories.
In there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
she tried to light grandma up.
There's some tips on getting your stuff on the show. Just don't make it too long, you know? Let's try to keep it within 3 minutes. You know, if I can read it out in 3 minutes, that's a good story. So
we're going to stretch it out.
Tell
anyways,
me about,
right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Tell me about Paul Hogan. What's he up
to? Oh, Paul Hogan. So, you know, guess how old he is?
67.
No, he's 86.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy, right, mate?
Crikey.
But so, you know, we know him well from Crocodile Dundee and Crocodile Dundee 2. And he was in, remember Almost an Angel? Where he
yes!
was almost
that
an
was
angel?
So yep. good.
That was a good one. That was 1990.
Wow.
And then Flipper he did in 1996.
Missed
I remember
that one. I missed that one.
And in 2001, I don't remember seeing this one. He's done some other movies kind of playing different parts, but in 2001, he did Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. I do not remember that.
No, that was straight to video or something.
Probably.
That one didn't make it into the theater. So
he's still done stuff. And as recently as 2020, there is a movie or something called The Very Excellent Mr. Dundee.
Oh, maybe it's a documentary that Netflix is going to put out or something.
Well, it was done in 2020, so maybe it is. It does kind of look like it's just kind of looking at the
life
little trailer
times.
Here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like a bit like a documentary type thing or, yeah.
Man, that dude must have been, he was old back in the day.
He was, but I mean, he still looks like.
Does he?
Crocodile Dundee, yep.
Good for him.
Just with grayer hair and a little bit, I mean, he looks good.
Hopefully he can still carry that knife around because
he uses it as a cane now. Now that's a cane, right?
Yeah. Hopefully that wasn't him on the airplane, because that would be one possible reason why a person would run naked is they're 80 years old and they don't know any better. So
that's right.
Like my knife cut my belt, pants came down, I got scared. So this is Bobby from Arizona. Misspoken menu. First of all, though, when you die, are you going to be buried in the earth or are you going to be cremated? Is that a personal? And is that too personal of a question?
No. I'm totally open. Well, I've talked about this with Amy, and she's actually expressed she's got the same interest. I think that dying is a racket, so I'm not planning on doing it. Just kidding. No, the whole funeral stuff, you know, with
embalming,
the, like
and
the casket, and all that stuff is so crazy expensive. And I'm a cheapskate to the very end. So put me in a cardboard box and burn me up. And
that's exactly my take on it.
Yeah.
I talked to my mom the other day, and she was a hardcore Southern woman.
Yeah.
That did not believe in cremation at all. And she's like, just do it. Just do it. Just cremate me. And I'm like, where did this come from? She's like, I don't care. I don't care anymore.
Done with my body. I don't need it anymore. But she, why embalm it and stick it in the ground?
Is this superstition that runs amongst many Southern, at least it did run through many Southern Christians, that if you were cremated and then spread to the earth, you would not join in the rapture.
Right.
Which never made sense to me. God can't
put your particles back together, can he?
No. It never made sense to me because, like, say you've been in the ground 2,000 years. You died right after you saw Jesus get killed, you know?
Yeah.
And your parts are gone. They are.
You are dust already.
You are worm food. You have been through the circle of life several times. How are you going to be resurrected in the great resurrection? The same way the cremated people are, you know? Right, it's right. Jesus magic. It's going to happen. And it's going to be okay. So I don't care. I don't worry about it. And except for poor old Chelsea's grandma, or grandma-in-law, they ain't getting her out of there. So she's going to have to go earn it all. I mean, they'll get that figured out when an angel gets a hold of it or something. They're right. Like six, I don't know how many kids she had, but each kid got an urn. So six urns go floating up in the air. We're just like, oh, that's grandma right there. Grandma 1 through 6. So
hopefully none of the kids lost any of them. So, you know.
Yeah, then it's
grandma.
Then grandma's limping around eternity without an arm, you know. So
what happened to you? Welcome to heaven, but what happened?
Daggum, my kids lost my elbows.
Junior lost my freaking jugular vein. I don't know why. Just I'm bleeding everywhere now. You can always tell where I've been. Anyway, Bobby. Ew. Bobby from Arizona. I know. I made heaven nasty. That's when you know it's time to move on. Bobby from Arizona's misspoken menu. My wife and her youngest sister are all afflicted with malaprops. Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
I'm going to say malaprops, okay? Which is a condition where they jumble up words and phrases unintentionally. I kind of suffer from this sometimes. Like, I'll say Disney World instead of McDonald's, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I'll do that all day. Like, just weird words that are brand new to me, and I can't remember what they are. I'll call them something very similar. And I don't have a good examples because it's I'm crazy apparently. So
it happens in the moment.
Yeah.
So malaprops.
Like for instance, we have this software called CoreFlex or something like that we use at work, and I call it COVID the other day. I'm like
COVID.
I'm on COVID and he's like, what? I'm like, COVID, whatever the C thing is we use. He's like, CoreFlex? I'm like, yeah, COVID. I was close. I was in the same alphabet. So anyway, for example, instead of saying hot chocolate, one of them might say chocotlet.
Nice.
It's like my mom used to say, you're in a mel of a Hess.
What is that the other way around?
I don't know. But it's safe that way.
I can't repeat it because I'm afraid I'll say it wrong.
Yeah. Because
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. She would say that a lot. And my sister tried to say it and she reversed it because she thought she was supposed to and said the wrong thing. So,
I think she really was in a mel of a ass.
There you go. You had to get it out, didn't you?
I did. I had to trust that.
So maybe my mom had malatrops. I don't know. Maybe she's just crazy. I don't know. So I'm going to cremate her though. That'll be the end of her. We'll split her up into six places and cast her in six corners of the earth. And it'll be like, Jesus will have to do a daggum journey, you know, a quest to unlock the six parts of my mom. Anyway. So they might say chocotlet and,
chocotlet.
They twist up phrases and they say things like, I'm nervous as a wreck. So I love that.
As nervous as a wreck.
That'd make a good t-shirt, but
that is
these things happen at unpredictable and random moments. Whatever they do, they're either totally hilarious or completely confusing. In a public setting, however, they have the potential for creating the perfect storm.
The sturfic porm. Perfect storm.
See what I did? I got it.
I have malaprops too.
This is one of those perfect storm stories. So one day back in the early 2000s, my wife and her younger sister and I set up a play date for the kids at the nearby McDonald's. Being familiar with the staff at that location, my wife said to her sister as they were walking inside, "Now, the lady working at the register is hard of hearing, so you'll need to speak up when you order." Okay? Harmless bit of information. Good to know. Leads down a dark path. As my wife's sister began to place her order, that's when her malaprops decided to kick in. Then she said firmly, so as to be clearly understood by the hard of hearing McDonald's lady, "I'll have some cheeseburger nuggets, please."
Cheeseburger nuggets.
She said this mistakenly, completely oblivious that there was no such thing as chicken cheeseburger nuggets on the menu. The McDonald's lady behind the counter said, "Huh?" My wife's sister leaned over to my wife and whispered, "You're right. She really is hard of hearing." She dug in her heels and repeated the request even louder. "I'll have some cheeseburger nuggets, please." To which the McDonald's lady once again said, "Huh?" Because the order made no sense to her. The exchange went back and forth, getting louder and louder each time until the two women were practically screaming at each other. By this time, everyone in the dining room had turned their attention to the big commotion going on at the front counter. It was now teetering on the verge of bloodshed. "I said, I want my cheeseburger nuggets. Huh?
Tell me now." We're all Southern here in Arizona. Yeah, apparently.
My wife suddenly realized what was happening and jumped in to intervene. She grabbed her sister by both shoulders, looked her straight in the eyes and said, "Sissy, which one do you want? Because you're saying two things. Do you want a cheeseburger or do you want nuggets?" And her sister paused for a few seconds, suddenly realizing what was happening. The look comes over her face, you know. "Oh," she said in a totally normal voice, regaining her composure. "Cheeseburger. I'll have a cheeseburger, please." And about then, all three women started getting the giggles. And the volatile situation was instantly diffused. Bobby from Arizona. Bobby was out in the play place by this time. He's like, "I'll tell this story from a safe distance."
Yep. I'm going to watch this from afar so I can see everything that's going on.
Now, if by chance they do end up with some cheeseburger nuggets, I'm getting down on those. But, you know, maybe we should do that. I mentioned that it would make a good T-shirt, and something from last week made a good T-shirt. You remember the story from Good Guy about cleaning up the coworker that cleaned up the overspilled toilet with hand towels and then hung them back up. And I mentioned in that somebody should have wrote a little note that said, "Don't use the hand towel." And so we have a new T-shirt at store.nlcast.com. You just go to that story show and click on merch. It's just in small print on the front of the shirt. Don't use the hand towel. And we have a male shirt, a female size shirt, and we have a towel, a towel for sale. Hand towel. It says, "Don't use a hand towel."
We need to get that and put it in the bathroom. "Don't use a hand towel. Where am I supposed to dry my hands?"
Buy this shirt. No one is going to know what it means, but that is 90% of the fun to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
And the shirt doesn't even have... There's no hint about our show on there.
And it so just when says, people ask, tell them the story and share the gospel of Kinnison. I mean, that's what you do. You tell them
it's
about
it. It's got a beautiful script, too.
Thank you. Really I worked hard. I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
So it's just a little handwritten note, you know, just stuck in there. Don't use the hand towel. So.
Nice.
The guy, good guy that sent in the story emailed me this week and he's like, "I can't thank you enough for reading my story, then naming the podcast after the story, and then putting a t-shirt up about the story." I haven't written him back yet because I got it today. But the answer is going to be, dude, you sent in a good story. You know,
every now and then something just
Yeah.
It's just like suit clicks. Up Nero. It yeah. just shows up and yeah. you got to make something
nickel
out of
and
it.
A dime and a quarter and a penny.
There you go.
That's a lot of cash.
I do have a nickel and a dime and a quarter. Actually, I don't have a nickel.
Oh, so you don't have a lot of cash.
I don't. I got some. Is that some cash maybe?
Maybe.
You got some?
I don't know.
That's a lot of change.
You know what I've noticed that I do at McDonald's, and it must drive McDonald's people crazy, is I'm in line, right? And I'm waiting for my turn. And I get to the counter. Now, and I'm talking about old school McDonald's. Nowadays, you plug it into a daggum computer, but
yeah, you've got to order through their app or something.
Yeah, but there's still typically a lady that'll do it old school for the old people like me. And I wait and I get there and then I look up at the menu. I had all that time to decide what I wanted, but I will look up at the menu. The menu I've seen. That has been largely unchanged since I was 7 years old. You know,
except for the numbers at the end, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, those have definitely changed. Yeah, so I think people in service industries need a lot more money than they make. Secondly, they put up with a lot. They really do.
Yeah, they do.
This story is from Eric. It's called Meat Department Mess. And it's a bit disturbing.
Good.
A few years ago, I went to the store with my mother, as I typically did at the time. And since now I work at this establishment, let's just say it's a popular store with a name that rhymes with Broger.
I know where that place is.
I have no idea what he's talking about. That's crazy. They don't have.
You don't know what yes, K. Roger is?
I know.
Oh,
so
we call it K. Rogers.
Oh, really? No, we call it Kroger. So secrets out. So so me and my mother got to the store and things were going right on schedule. We made it through the produce aisle without a hitch, through the bread aisle with ease, and then we rounded the corner to the meat department, and that's where we hit a snag. My mom and I were talking, but my mind drifted from the conversation as I noticed on the floor in the meat department, there was a huge brown cylindrical object. Now, me and my innocent little mind, I supposed it was perhaps a kielbasa that had escaped the box and was now displayed on the shiny tile. I looked over at my mother, who is now transfixed on the suspicious object, and I looked at her, at my dear sweet mother in the eyes, and I said, "Surely not." But then a Broger employee broke the silence and said, "Yep, it is," as he scooped it up with a broom and dustpan. What was laying on the floor was a large steaming piece of dog poop.
Oh, a dog?
It was horrid. In a store. Is nothing Why? Sacred? We later saw the culprit. It was a large dog, which was for some horrible reason allowed to enter and drop a deuce in the grocery store. So long story short, the rapture is coming soon, my brothers. Please stay strong.
An emotional support animal.
And keep telling stories. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest. I hope I never have to see anything like that again, because years later now, I work at that same meat department. I hope this makes it on the show. God bless, Eric. Yeah, I hope the Lord comes quickly. Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Deliver us from these.
Yeah, this was when he was a kid, so this was pre-emotional support animal.
Man.
So somebody's dog either just was randomly in there. They had a strict no dog policy. I mean, they had to pass laws to allow seeing eye dogs to be allowed in these things, right? You know? So,
man,
I don't know, a dog popped a squat. But if I was a dog, I will say I would favor the meat department over produce and bread, you know.
Smell all that raw meat out there, like, I gotta go.
I gotta mark this territory quickly.
I'm gonna leave something for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give me a treat. I'm a good boy.
All dogs are good boys, aren't they?
Except for you've got two of them.
I got two bad dogs, but Andrew.
You got the two that aren't.
They're bad. Everybody else is good. But my wife calls them good doggies. And I have gotten in the habit of greeting them. So I push my thumb to the thumb pad. It makes a whirring noise and unlocks the door. The dogs now know this noise. I told you one time I farted and it sounded like that noise. And they went running to the door.
Is it time to go out?
Yeah. Or somebody's here is what it means somebody's to them. Here? Somebody's here to visit. So they come running to me every time I come in. And I always say, doggies! And that's all they get from me. Is no pets, no nothing. As soon as they hear doggies, they're like, oh, it's just that crappy old man. And they turn around and walk away.
It's just like, a jerk.
Can't believe I got out of my warm spot in the bed for this. But they're
he's
fooled.
Not even going to give us a treat.
No, nothing. Nothing. Just doggies! Mass panic. This is from Andrew, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So one time I was at Mass, and I was in the children's choir. If you don't know, Mass is a different form of church. There's less talking and more doing. Actually, I've been to Mass and there's just as much talking and there is more doing, I will say.
I feel like there is. It's more interactive. There's a lot more standing.
Yeah. I actually liked Mass because of the interactivity of it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes in your other churches, it's just real passive, you know? Mm-hmm. And I did like the interactivity aspect of it. So anyway, I was in the choir, and about 2 minutes into the Mass, everyone in the church kneels down on one knee. I do that, and rip!
Oh, no!
Where's that noise coming from? I look down in my pants, and I see that my pants had ripped. I stretched that crotch too far.
Oh, I was hoping it was the other kind of rip. Personally,
no, man.
Those are hilarious in church, but pants rip is equally entertaining.
Yeah, he ripped it up, dude. He ripped it like he got it from freaking thrift store. So
you ripped it.
It's about a foot long hole. It ran from the bottom of my butt and the front of my underwear. So it was the whole thing. Like this guy could take a crap without taking his pants off. This Mass,
and I was wearing my patriotic underwear that day.
This Mass was a special one, which meant it was about an hour and a half long. So I had to survive for more than an hour till I could change my clothes. I didn't even pay attention to the sermon because I had to focus on covering my pants hole with a choir book to make sure no one else noticed. But then there was communion. Now, I don't know if you know, but the Catholics, interactivity is the key. One person delivers communion at the front. Well, and then other people too. They sub it out to subcontractors. And you get in line and you genuflect, which means you do the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. You take they put it on your tongue. Sometimes it just depends on how you want to do it. But a lot of the old folks, not so much the young kids, but they will get down on one knee. And apparently this church does that. So the choir went up first to get communion. So full on, you know, in front of everybody. So I couldn't bring my choir book to cover up the hole. So I just had to walk and pray to the Lord that no one noticed. All the saints above and Mother Mary too. As the choir walked up to get communion, we had to genuflect again. But then my pants tore again. You know, once it gets going,
Andrew,
it's easy to do. My face flushed red with embarrassment, but thank goodness no one seemed to notice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, they were.
You just didn't notice them noticing.
You know how many story podcasts started because of your story, sir? Just like, I had no other way to get this out, but we were at Mass today and it was a special Mass and this was a choir boy and everybody heard this rip sound and then he covered it up with a choir book, but then he had to go and get communion and dude, his whitey tighties weren't so white and weren't so tight. You know what I'm saying? They were hanging out. It was like nothing I'd ever seen.
That's crazy. He must have looked like the Incredible Hulk after he returned back to
everything David Banner. Just shrunk back up. So just
my pants are all ripped up.
It was crazy. But he said, so I went up to get communion, went back to the choir loft, and thankfully finished the Mass in one piece. I hope you like my story. Yes, we did. Andrew in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah, it was a good one, Andrew. Sorry you had to go through that.
That sounds terrible. Oh, have you ever ripped your pants?
Yes. I'm pretty sure I've told my story a couple times, but I'll recap it for you because it was quickly. Also.
I mean, not to rush you. I just mean, if you've told it, just remind me.
I believe it was second grade.
Mm.
I was wearing my Superman underoos that day, FYI. If for those in the back that don't remember what underoos were, they were
the undergarments. Crap. They were the crap.
They were. And so, like, you know how 80s Superman used to have his underwear on the outside of the of his uniform, you know, the red with the yellow belt kind of looking thing. So that's what my underwear looked like. And we were singing this song. You remember that song, The Lord's Army?
Yeah, yeah. I was never march in the infantry.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I
shoot the artillery.
That was the hand favorite motions part. And everything to it. And then at the part where you ride in the cavalry, me and my friends, we used to really get into it. So we were riding in the cavalry. We did that part, and I did a deep knee bend on riding in the cavalry. And my pants went, and I stood up, and I was like, "What happened?"
Oh,
and the girl behind me was snickering because we were in class in second grade. And the teacher who I had a crush on.
Oh no.
She like had to come over and check out.
Oh,
like, oh yeah, you sure did. Second you ripped them
grade.
Good.
Second grade.
And I could feel all the blood draining out of my body at that moment. I think she found somebody with a sweatshirt and said, "Here, just tie this around your waist for the rest of the day."
Yeah. Hey, better than ending up like the pee-pee kid that has to put his drawers in the Ziploc bag so and take it home for mom to deal with. That stuff's fermenting in that cubbyhole.
Oh.
That's all I know. There was a couple times my son got sent home with those when he was potty training. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our stories. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Andrew and everybody, and Eric and everybody for sending them in. Just want to announce again that we had lost a lot of stories. We regained a lot of them. But if you sent a story in between now and April, and you're just hearing this, and you haven't heard it on the show yet, there's a good chance that our forum took your story, told you that it was submitted, and lied to you. So if you're in doubt, send it in, and we'll cross-reference everything. I've been pulling stories from we actually have a Google spreadsheet that has all of the information in it, thankfully. And we restored over 60 thanks to the help of Daniel J. Lewis, who will be at NarthexCon, by the way. I'm so excited.
In person.
Theme show is called Pesky Parents. It is going to be live at NarthexCon on June 29th. So you need to get your stories in well before then because I do show notes a week in advance. So we want stories about the folks who raised you, whether it was your mom and dad, your grandma, your auntie, whether you were born in a barn, and raise yourself with the help of some wolves. Whatever those wolves were up to, we would like to hear about it. Just put hashtag pesky in there. So you've got the better part of a month, but don't push it because things are filling up quick. Okay. So if you've got a good parent story, send it in. How great would it be for us to read it on the show? And you sit down with your mom, you got her trapped in the car, you roll tape. and she's slapping you while you're driving because you've told on her, you know, you've told her.
And then you can
secrets.
Record an audio version of it with your mom's reaction.
Yes.
So that we can play that on the show as well.
Oh man, that would
Wouldn't
be
fun.
So classic. So classic. I might save it for patrons only.
Oh
yeah. So speaking of NarthexCon, that is an event that we do every 2 years, and it is a place where we record shows live in front of you, the audience. We meet and greet. We do all kinds of stuff, and I just made the t-shirts free this year.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just easier, and I want to love on our people more. It is June 29th here in St. Louis, Missouri. Free event. Register at NarthexCon.com. We have a limit of 90 people. And we've got about half that right now. So there's plenty of space. So, but the t-shirt deadline is still a deadline. That is Thursday, June 13th, because I have to get the order in on the 14th. If you've submitted your orders, they're in, we're good. Matter of fact, I'm going to be sending confirmation emails out right after the show because some people were wanting to know, hey, am I registered? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably a pretty good thing to know. So anyway, narthexcon.com is how you get there, or just go to thatstoryshow.com and click on the banner at the top of the screen. I want to mention again, Jen and I doing a podcast. We're both right. It's a lot of fun. It is funny. And I think you'll enjoy it. We want to get some listeners over there. So look it up right now. Pause the podcast. Look up We're Both Right. And when you see two people with text over their faces, you'll know. You'll know. Outliving Depression is the new name, the rebrand of The Gospel of Kenison, my personal audio journal. Many of you enjoy that, and I hope that you will check it out if you haven't yet. It is my struggle with anxiety and depression, but also just a little bit of my everyday life. If you'd like to get to know me better and know what makes me tick and know the James behind the microphone, that is the place to do it. And if you're someone who is struggling with depression, that's a major part of every episode is tips and tricks that have worked for me as I work to outlive depression. Hats are still available on Etsy.com/NLcast. And that is all of that. This podcast is brought to you because of our supporting listeners on Patreon. Get That Story Show Premium, which includes ad-free listening, swag, and a weekly bonus podcast that we're about to record right now. Try it out for free for 7 days, patreon.com/thatstoryshow. $3 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. If you pay annually, you save 10%, and you can get no ads for almost nothing, and you're supporting one of your favorite podcasts. So, hey, what's to lose? Plus, you get stickers, you get swag. I mean, there's all kinds of perks. There's all kinds of stuff and bonus content. The bonus content sometimes runs as long as the real content. Is that not true?
Wow. But, it feels like it to me. And in no pun intended, we really let our hair down.
Yes, we do. It's a more relaxed atmosphere.
It is really relaxed.
For better or for worse. Thanks to Lori64, who became a $10 supporting listener.
Hey.
And special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Kerry Wright, and Christopher Tynan, who do more than their share every single week. It is time for us to get out of here. We love you guys, and we'll see you in a little while.
Do you have a story that you'd like featured in a future episode? Submit your story today at thatstoryshow.com. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, this belongs in That Story Show.
All right, so you heard what the lady said. Send in your stories. It doesn't have to be a theme show story.
No.
Well, let's see. I have a little problem with I mix up my words. Sometimes I'm speaking clearly, but I'm clearly misheard. I went to McDonald's and ordered a cheeseburger nugget, and that lady didn't know what the heck I uttered. I said a little louder because her hearing was bad. I said it once again because her face looked so sad. She looked confused. I just wanted something off of the menu. But then my sister grabbed me and said, "What's gotten in you?" I said, "I want a cheeseburger nugget, please, lady." She said, "There's nothing like that on there. You need to make your mind up, crazy." And so I thought about it, and I said, "I'll have one. A cheeseburger, please, lady. Can I please call you hun?" And she said, "Sure." And we just laughed, and everything was okay. I got my meal. I sat down, and I was just like, "Hey, this is great. I'm at McDonald's, and the nutrition facts tell me soon I'm going to a die of
a heart attack.
Thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.